Preview Podcasts.
Welcome to the Preview Podcast. At Preview, you will find first-class photographers and stylists, as well as the latest editorials and insights from the photo industry. In our podcast, we talk to photography world insiders to take a look behind the scenes. Our guest today is Elisaveta Porodina, a Russian artist and photographer based in Munich. She's worked for Vogue, Dior, Carolina Herrera, Vanity Fair, and others, just opened an exhibition in Stockholm at Fotografiska, and is now publishing her very first book. Hi, Elisaveta.
Hello.
Nice to have you here. You're talking to us today from Munich, where you live, but recently you just opened an exhibition in Stockholm. How did that go?
Well, thank you for having me. The exhibition went fantastically well. It was way more response and also buzz than I have expected. They were 3 days of really, really like loads of interviews, guided tours, opening lunches, brunches, and dinners. And above all that, the exhibition itself, which showed 150 pieces of my work from the last 3 years, it was just so fantastically curated. I felt really honored and overwhelmed looking at the huge, humongous 2-meter printouts of my work. As I work digitally, I never get to see the things printed. So when I stood in front of them curated like that, it was really, in the best sense, overwhelming.
Yeah, it must be very different than doing advertising or editorials for magazines. It's a very different medium in a way.
Sure. But I mean, we can get into the sort of separation of work later, but just to premeditate it, generally, I don't make a big separation in my work in terms of whether I'm shooting advertisement or editorial or personal project. I'm equally dedicated to all of these things generally.
Yeah, it would have been actually one of my later questions to ask about that, if you see it separately or not. And if there is one realm where you feel the most at home, or if you see yourself more as a fine art photographer, a fashion photographer, or you don't distinguish.
Well, I think we can cover the question now. Now you've already said it. And so I would say that I'm an artist. That's how I would say it. And that said, I think that the term of an artist in my head is a very democratic one. I think that everyone who decides to be creative, to pick up a pencil, a crayon, any sort of medium is an artist. And I am one. I love creating. I need creating. I survive from creating. And in terms of separation, you know, I really don't. I go into a job where I get paid money for my time, just as motivated, just as fervent, just as ambitious as when I go into a project that I invest money into. And I think that every sort of work always has limitations. Like there is no need to have this illusion about, you know, personal project being a limitless paradise. There is always a limitation there as well. And I think the task of an artist is to deal with the limitations and solve creative problems, make them into something pretty.
It actually really struck me when I looked at your Instagram and your portfolio and I scrolled through the images. I couldn't make out, is this an image that was for a magazine or advertising? It felt like one homogeneous series in a way, almost, you know?
Thank you.
So yeah, you have a lot going on, not just this exhibition, but this spring your first book is coming out, Unmasked, is the title. How excited are you about that?
On a scale from 1 to 10, it's a supple 12. I'm very excited. I have been waiting for a very long time to publish a book. Never seemed right. It always had this character of, you know, retrospective, which always kind of makes you feel like you're dead. So I didn't want that. And when the exhibition came and I've been approached by the publishing house, Hatia Kanz and Nadine Bard, who published the book, about this project, I felt like it is the right moment because the exhibition is happening, which is sort of a look back at the last 3 years, which have been really decisive in my career and really, you know, really showed me how important it is to be unapologetic and be radical and be believe in yourself for what that sentence is worth. And I just wanted to capture this feeling into something that is less fleeting than a social media account.
Yeah, because some people might think, oh, why are people still making books in the time of TikTok and all these proclamations of print is dead, you know?
Yeah, I mean, print is not dead, obviously. I think what is maybe dead are some things that weren't necessary in the first place anyway, or maybe have evolved into something completely different. And I think that other things like books, for example, or, you know, like special magazines, they are luxury. Luxury has never been needed by anyone. Luxury has been wanted by people. It's products of luxury, products of enjoyment. And I'm not speaking about books in general. I'm speaking about photo books. It's just enjoyment. It's beauty, and it's something that people will always want. You will always want to hold something in your hands and smell and touch and feel the weird texture of the paper and look at the colors, the way how they shine back from you from the paper. And I never was worried about that. And I think that it just gives you a completely different way of experiencing your favorite artist's work. That's how I feel. And if I feel that way, I'm sure other people do as well.
A lot of photographers, though, it's almost a bit of a movement, I feel, they self-publish. Did you ever consider this, to do it independently?
Not seriously. Just because, I don't know, I'm a person who is very, I feel very challenged by being focused on multiple projects in different disciplines. I feel publishing is a different discipline to photography, or being this like visual artist that I already am, which is already an expertise in many different areas, to be honest. Being a photographer, being an artist nowadays who also works on commission, doesn't only mean being an expert in, you know, taking pictures. It's also being an expertise in being an expert in retouching, in marketing yourself, in managing yourself to a certain point, in you have to be an expert about the market that you pick, and also communicating. You have to be communicative. You have to be really, really good at many, many, many levels. So when it comes to publishing, it just always felt like it's one skill too much to learn. And I do enjoy the collaborative aspect of it, and I do enjoy having a certain reach that comes together with doing it with a publishing house.
Mm. And what was the working process like? Did you work together? Did you submit your photographs and then they took over?
Not at all. Of course, no. Au contraire, it was me and the curator of this project, Nadine Bart, and then the designer that I was working with, Julia Wagner. We all worked very closely together, and it was an incredibly collaborative process.
Mm.
As in, we were making every decision together in the best way possible. It felt very intimate. It felt like they were helping me curate my diary, honestly. I couldn't stand behind the project more, to be honest.
Yeah. Sounds perfect. But was it difficult to choose which photographs to include, because your archive must be quite massive?
It is, and at a certain point, you're right, it was. I would say that it was kind of easy to come down to a number of like 300 or 260 or something like that, and from that point on, it just felt like slowly killing my darlings. There was a point where me and Julia were looking at it, and we were like, wow, this is impossible. We really need to up the pages of the book, which is impossible right now because of also paper shortage due to our favorite topic, Corona. Then we we managed, and I feel like it made the edit much sharper than it was before, and therefore I cannot stress the necessity of editing yourself enough, because if you want to say a certain thing loud and clear, it does mean that you have to choose fewer words and they have to really sit, you know.
And did you have a certain criteria, or did you more like follow your gut, or how do you make choices like this?
I mean, both of these things, and added my experience with my images of how they did when they were published. I'm a huge fan of publishing my images and showing them to an audience. And it's not that it's my only criteria, but I do feel that there is a certain beauty in the way how the images communicate with an audience online. There is, you sometimes see a special response, and I don't necessarily mean the amount of, I don't know, comments, likes, etc., but just sometimes if it provokes more thought than other images, for example. And I have been a fan of publishing my images online from day one of me being an artist, you know, like since I remember when I moved to Germany, I immediately started painting and drawing to kind of, you know, cover up the desperation of not knowing the language and not being liked by my, you know, co-students. So I started drawing, and I immediately started publishing my images and posted my images on a self-created website. And my first comment was, no offense, but why are you posting something so ugly? And
how did you feel? You
know, well, not great, obviously, you know. but it kind of, it did teach me a lot, publishing my stuff. It is a great way of communicating yourself. It is a great way of really seeing whether your work lives, or whether it has, you know, something to say in a way. And again, it's not about Instagram, it's not about social media, it's just about, it could also be exhibition, like it, like when I did my exhibition, seeing response to your work and the way how people start moving differently in the way how you curated your work, and how they, where they stand still in front of which piece of art they stand still, and how they respond to it with their gaze, and how their eyes move from back and forth. I find it a very interesting piece of information, let's say that, because I have always been, and I mean every artist is different here, right, but I have always been about finding a way of communicating with other people out there, because no other way has been efficient for me, you know, like including words. I'm good at speaking, but I'm not necessarily the best at picking up verbal or nonverbal signals. So to me, art has always been my way of trying to say my truth.
But, and then would you say that these responses or reactions that you notice, do they influence what you do or how you work in the future? Does it influence you?
Well, not in this easy way how you could imagine it. Like, it's not like, oh, this picture has a lot of response, I will just take another picture like that. It's as I said, it's like the criteria that you mentioned before added this other criteria, plus just reacting to how I feel during the shoot. I think all of that adds up. And you sometimes you could get information from the response, like, oh, people really dislike this direction, and you could just keep going in that direction because you feel like, wow, they still don't get it, so I'm just going to do more of that, which I do often enough, to be honest. Like, I like keeping people on their toes, and myself foremost.
I spotted a photo that you took that's also going to be in the book of Chloé Sevigny. And there was a caption explaining that it was shot during the lockdown via Zoom in New York in 2020.
Yes.
And that really intrigued me. How did you do this? How did this work?
Well, maybe you've spotted this Zoom signature on other photos as well. There has been a number of projects that I've conducted via Zoom during the first lockdown of 2020. And I would say that the project with Chloe was one of the first ones. And then I think that maybe over the course of the year, I've conducted like 50 projects over Zoom, shooting to like various countries, and the projects ranged from shooting in a very intimate condition where it was just me and my husband on this side, and then another person on their phone on the other side in Johannesburg, or it could have been stuff like me and my husband here, and then 200 people on the other side, because we were shooting the cover of Vogue China, and it was like a massive, massive production. Everyone wearing their masks and shields on the other side there, obviously. But yeah, it was a thing. It was a technology that we have developed during lockdown, because we obviously have been sent home when everything was shut down. But I was so full of energy and so full of interest to keep going and discovering and making art, which is the most important thing for me in my life. So I just some sort of solution. And we sat down and we called some of our friends who are our muses and photography, and we started trying out different techniques, like many other people at that time. There were a lot of Zoom projects, and we just stayed very persistent, very ambitious, because I really wanted this not just be this like sad compromise, but I really wanted it to be my new tentacle of work, and wanted it to be even better than my other stuff, if that could be possible.
And I might sound very stupid right now, but can you explain for someone who's not into these details of Zoom photography, who presses the shutter?
I understand your interest, but I obviously prefer to keep the details to myself, because okay. I feel like it's a unique technology.
I don't know. Okay, that's fair enough. But yeah, it's very intriguing.
Thank you. And in the exhibition, they really have this amazing shining quality to them, because they've been printed really big, and I didn't know if they could survive that, but actually they shine even more. It's really charming. I really like it.
Maybe let's go back in time a little bit. How did you discover photography as your medium of choice? Why did you go for photography?
I have always been doing or making art in some sorts. I've already told you my sad story about starting to paint and drawing. So I started doing that when I was 7, and then it kind of intensified when I was 13 and my family moved to Germany, and I was coping with the consequences of that. And I kept doing it until I was 21, 22 or something like that. And I was studying clinical psychology, and I still kept it as some sort of hobby. But there was this passion and ambition lingering in me that I would still be an artist. But I did know that it wouldn't be painting, because I felt very isolated, and I felt very... to me, the painting wasn't this absolutely fulfilling thing when I became this twin person. It felt more like isolation and hiding, and I strive to find something that would challenge me more as a person. So I picked up photography by coincidence. I think some ex-boyfriend was interested in photography and was photographing ducks and animals at the zoo. And I was like, well, maybe that's something. And, I picked up the camera and started photographing my friends at night during parties or just randomly in any sort of situations. And apparently the photos were good enough to attract the attention of some young designers who also were interested in shooting their lookbooks and campaigns with me, which meant absolutely nothing to me back then, because I didn't know the terminology and I didn't understand anything about fashion. And so I just stupidly agreed to all of these things, not knowing how much challenge it is. And the challenge, you know, it did nothing to me. I wasn't overwhelmed. I wasn't unhappy. I wasn't terrified when I learned that I have like two locations and available lights and artificial lights and 5 models. I actually was absolutely excited about these things. I was so happy. I felt almost like I was high. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to drink. I was just rushed by this like incredible amount of adrenaline. And I think I felt like this for the first time in my whole life. And I just decided that I need to keep doing it, because before that I was a deeply unhappy person who was just like running on like 20% of my usual capacity.
Yeah, you just found your thing.
I think that's the easy and short way of saying what I just said. Yeah.
You were self-taught as a photographer? You didn't go study it. You learned everything yourself.
Yeah, I studied clinical psychology and I worked in a psychiatry for like 1.5 or 2 years while I was still learning some photographic skills. I did learn all of the things that I know now myself, but obviously not without help of mentors along the way, or then also my husband, who is also my lighting technician and light director.
Yeah, and it can be a difficult industry to access. How did you do it? Do you have any advice for photographers starting out?
I also found it very difficult to access. And I feel like, you know, I had this run-in with a young photographer when I was like roughly 10 years ago. And everything that he said about this struck me and kind of stayed with me for a long time, because it is so true. He said, the world of fashion photography is basically one table and there are 12 or like 13 chairs around this table, and whoever sits at this table gets the good bits and everyone else kind of scratches from below. Which back then I found really dramatic and unnecessary. Also very demotivating at that time, because I barely knew anything. And so the more you move on and the more you learn, and these like unspoken and unwritten rules, because they aren't, no one speaks about them and no one writes them down, you become very, you know, you become a lot of things. You can be sad one day and then very motivated the other day and then completely desperate the next day. It's not an easy industry to navigate, because you meet a lot of beautiful, creative, interesting, unique people, but you also meet a lot of people with a genuine narcissistic personality, and you meet a lot of political games that you never want to be part of, and also where everything is out of your control, and you become part of decisions that you never, it's pretty much everything, you know. It's a slice of life in itself, and you have to really, really want it, I think. I think it's very important to understand as early as possible what you actually want, and also on a scale from 1 to 10, how much you want it. And I would never, never advise anyone who doesn't want it, like 12 out of 10, to do it, because otherwise you're not going to be in for a fun ride. It's only going to be a fun ride if you cannot do otherwise, but do it, because for the love of photography, for the love of art, your motivation has to be purely a passionate one.
Mm. Yeah, otherwise you would probably easily have given up with so many roadblocks.
Maybe that, or maybe it's just not going to be a lot of fun, because you will secretly think to yourself, well, this is some bullshit. Why have I signed up to it? And then every time you answer yourself this question, it has to be because I love it, because I cannot do otherwise, because no matter how badly people treat you, or no matter how much people sometimes underestimate you, or no matter how much you invest and how little comes out of every step of that way, you still can answer the question to yourself every night you go to sleep, well, I would be doing it anyway, you know? So that has to be the premise in my head. But maybe I'm just being very dramatic, you know. It's just my life set.
And so, because you're living in Munich and it's not really one of the super big fashion capitals in the world, did you feel it was a disadvantage?
It's a layered question with layered answer. You don't necessarily have to live in any of the fashion capitals. It is practical, because all of the productions happen there. You just have to visit, and you have to have relationships there, because this is how it works. You have to have your network, you have to have your you know, your people that you like to work with, that you gel with, where that make your art genuinely better, that really support you and believe in you. It can work when you don't live there. If you go often enough, it's fine. It's just, you know, if you don't go there and if you don't have any relationships there, don't hope for anyone to discover you, because it won't happen.
And how did you build these relationships?
Well, by really trying hard. I mean, it's just like everything in life. You go out there, you make a list of people that are interesting to you and that you find inspiring, and you present your work that you at that point should believe is credible and amazing and the best you can do, and then you hope for response. And as soon as there is an exchange, you keep this going. Because if you are like, my biggest advice to everyone is be genuinely interested. You don't fake it. Don't try to build meaningful relationships with people that are not inspiring to you, that you don't genuinely like. There is no sense in it. You have to really want it, and then it will, you know, then you will create long-term meaningful bonds with people that you respect.
Mm. Back to your photos, maybe. You already mentioned you used to paint, and a lot of your images have a painting feel to them. Does a lot of work happen after the actual shoot? Do you use a lot of After Effects?
A lot of people actually assume that first I shoot analog, and then second they assume that I'm doing a lot of post-production. And both of these assumptions are actually couldn't be more untrue. I shoot digital, and I would say that a lot of people who works with me can tell you that it just happens. Like, this is how they come out from the computer. And I would say that maybe I do, I don't know, I clean up some threads if they hang out of the garment, or I add little bits here and there, but it's not the type of post-production that you would picture, you know, painting the whole thing afterwards.
So your pictures, when you go to a shoot, you're super well prepared, and you know exactly, yes, which result you want?
Well, yeah, no, I would say I'm very well prepared, yes. Preparation and pre-production are incredibly important, and the more everyone is in the same flow and the more everyone responds and like beats the same drum, you know, then the more it will get to that point where everything is unisono and everything has this fantastic wholesome effect that you noted, right? Because if it comes down to why the images look like this, I think it's the color composition, it's the light composition, it's choosing the right person for the right thing, it's combining the right clothes for the right lighting, with the right hair, with the right makeup, with the right attitude, and then being able to make the right decision about the colors. It's a lot of rights for, you know, one shot, and that comes with, first of all, I would say some sort of expertise, and then also with the right team, with the right flow, if you are so lucky, and with a lot of dedication. I sometimes sit hours, days, finding the right image and treating it in the right way.
Mm. You really have your own style. It's very distinguishable. Was that a long way to get there, to find your very own thing?
It was a short way with a lot of distractions along the way. Because I feel like the actual style, the style that I'm doing now, it's just my voice, really. It's I've never done anything different in my whole life. It's what I did since I was a little kid, you know, when I started painting with with crayons or whatever. That's exactly what I was drawing, this sort of mix of something magical with something mysterious, with something scary, with something hysterical, with something larger than life. It's always what I've been interested in. And when I started photography, it was the same. It was the same passion, the same interest, you know, studying the dark side a little bit, but also being on the side of more is more and things like that. And there was a certain moment in my life where equally I felt like, you know, is that it? Like, is that just it? And also not necessarily being surrounded by the right collaborators anymore that could support the growth and the development of that medium in the right way, to make it something new, something modern, and all of these things. So I kind of had this detour to other things for quite a long time, for many years, where I just tried out completely different things, was only shooting in available light, was shooting for magazines that I don't shoot now today, and working with just trying out different things, and doing these things that I do now, which I present in the exhibition and present in the book. They feel like really coming home, if that makes sense. Just coming back to my original voice, but even harder.
Do you have any idea what's next for you? Are there still things you dream of doing?
Yes. The name of the project I do want to keep private, because it's something that I'm still working on, and I don't want to jinx it, but there is a certain topic that interests me from my former position as a clinical psychologist, and I kind of want to put multiple people in the same situation and just explore how they respond emotionally to it and capture it photographically. So I kind of want to combine my previous profession with my current profession even more.
We'll be very curious to see the result. Sounds intriguing.
Thank you.
And that's already all. Thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.